Welcome back. You're in the huddle. 101.3, the game, moving along on a Wednesday, a rainy Wednesday, I guess, but lots to get to, guys. Let's go right out to the TikTok Jewelers guest line. Joining us now, he's the founder of SpaTrack.com. It's the main resource for all contracts in all sports. It's Mike Jannetty. How you doing, Mike?
Great. Thanks for having me back, guys.
Oh, we love talking to you. It's a little confusing sometimes, but we do love talking to you. First of all, how have things changed for you and your company with this whole pandemic thing going on?
Yeah, you know, we're starting to get into a little bit of a lull now, finally, as things sort of try to figure out, and the NFL draft is done and things like that. But pretty much business as usual. As long as the NFL is ticking along, we're ticking along with it. So that's the one that kept us afloat here.
Yeah, Mike, I mean, you talk about the pandemic. We were just talking about the NBA's plan to get back, a lot of it driven by revenue. So how do you see the coronavirus pandemic impacting the salary caps in the major leagues?
Yeah, they're all going down. I don't imagine how it could be any other way. I really, especially with the NBA, and I'm sure you've discussed it, I really think that's the one that really has to try the hardest to stay at least as close to a line as possible because of the fact that you have maximum contracts that are based on a percentage of the cap. You've got contracts that have already been agreed to at a certain percentage of a cap, and if that cap goes down, those contracts are now millions of dollars less than they were originally agreed to. So of all these leagues, and I do think there's going to be trouble with all of them, I'm really hoping that the NBA figures out a system either to generate revenue from outside sources, which I know they're trying to do right now, or to just suck it up for a year and keep things aligned so that they can keep the integrity of this cap and these contracts intact.
You know, something seems confusing to me, Mike. The NBA wants to play more games, so they want to get they want to play more regular season games when they get to Disney in order to make more money. Baseball owners say regular season games actually cost them money. So what gifts?
TV. Baseball has become a localized market, and that's unfortunate, but when you've got small markets with their own TV networks, and that's how they make the majority of their money, and it's not big money, it's a big difference than the NBA, who's got ESPN and TNT and all of these international broadcast networks that essentially pay them all the money they need up front. So everything else they make from the gate and parking and concessions is kind of just house money. It's kind of secondary money to them. It's the exact opposite for Major League Baseball, unfortunately. They rely so much on the gate, so much on having butts and seats and beers in hands, and they're going to die for a little bit here without it.
Mike, we were talking about the Celtics yesterday. We're talking about the Celtics earlier today. They're talking about the idea of signing Jason Tatum to a max deal this offseason. They don't really need to because he's going to be a restricted free agent. They could just sign him back then. But what would be the benefit of doing it now?
Yeah, there's really no benefit to do it one way or another other than the fact that you'd get him to agree to it. And I'm not sure he's going to do that for all the reasons I just laid out. We really need to see how this financial landscape is going to work for the next 18 months with the NBA. And if you're tying yourself to a max contract, it means you're tying yourself to a percentage. So it's risky in that regard. It's also risky in that, you know, it could be a five-year maximum contract, which keeps him under control with Boston for that long. Also a risky move. We've seen so many of these players take shorter deals now to be able to allow themselves to move around a little bit more. But that's kind of the lay of the land here. But look, Boston saying that they plan to do it without saying it is just semantics. They really can't go out and say they don't want to get fined like the Bucks did with Giannis a couple of months ago. It's going to happen. They're going to make the offer. I imagine he takes it, and then the two sides work out the finances as the league figures it out, too.
How long would it take for him? I mean, free agency, is that something that he can hold over the Celtics' head or not really? Because he's going to get the max deal anyway, so there's no reason to do that.
Yeah, the only thing the Boston Celtics can offer is an extra year, and it sounds like you got some Mookie Betts hangover there. That's exactly what Mookie Betts essentially did. And boy, did it bite him. But no, I don't think there's any leverage either side here. This is a players' league. It's still going to be a players' league, even if the revenue drops. If Jason Tatum wants to test the market, he signs a smaller max contract. Sign yourself to 3 years at a maximum price. Give yourself a chance, at age 26, 27 to go out there and pick your team from there. But he's the kind of player, he's getting himself into the territory of your Kawhis and your Paul Georges, where if it doesn't work out in 2 years, you just demand a trade, get the heck out of town.
Now, Mike, even if they do sign Tatum, it doesn't kick in until after next year. How does this all affect Gordon Hayward? He's going to schedule to come he'll come off the books at that point. So they don't have to do anything with Hayward this offseason, do they?
They don't, but because it's such a light free agent market, you're going to see some trades, I think, that we didn't expect to see. And he's on that list for me. Yeah. There's going to be movement for teams that aren't going to be able to afford because of a drop in cap and less cap space. You can't go out and sign free agents like they maybe thought they could. So the trade market's going to be heavy. And I put him near the top of that list because he's a guy who can really change a team on the offensive side.
What about the idea of Hayward opting out? We laugh at it because he's scheduled to make $34 million, but that might come down because of the cap. And if he sees he doesn't have as big a role in Boston, could he just opt out and either go somewhere else or stay in Boston and try to get a, you know, maybe a lesser annual value, but 3 or 4 years to give him some security?
Everything's on the table. I can't imagine you'd opt out of $34 million, but if you're going to do it, here's why you do it. Either there's a signing trade in place, and you want to lock yourself into a long-term contract that may be a little bit less per year that goes with a trade so that everybody wins. That's kind of been the name of the game right now. These signing trades are getting bigger and bigger every offseason. So he's certainly a candidate for that. But you're right. It could be a similar situation to what Kevin Love just did, where maybe he doesn't see the greatest future over the next 3 years for his role specifically, but he wants a little bit of consistency, wants some long-term control in terms of finances. He's willing to take a little bit less per year to do it. He's the kind of player that I see doing that if the trade market isn't big for him this year.
Mike Gennetti, SpotTrack.com, with us here on the Huddle, 101.3 The Game, 101.3TheGame.com. You know, we'd be remiss if we didn't mention the Patriots' awful salary situation in this talk, too, because you know, the Patriots don't ever seem to pay anybody. How is it they have like less than $1 million left to play with? How does this happen when you're not paying anybody, it feels like?
Yeah, it's interesting that it finally got to this point, because for so long, they've been living in the middle of the cap and in the middle of the rankings in terms of all these positional spending, and they've just been in the sweet spot. And it sort of just all caught up to them. They obviously weren't going to be able to go and give Brady the top tier money because of their cap situation. But here, it's kind of a catch-22. Because they don't pay anybody, they also don't spread cap numbers out. So, I mean, that's why teams give 4 or 5 year contracts, is to be able to spread the cap out and be flexible with that cap. The Patriots don't restructure players. They keep things short-term. Generally, it's on a lower average salary, but we've just gotten to a point now where many of these defensive players specifically, and now obviously Joe Thuney's franchise tag, they're hitting the window at the same time where the cap hits are higher than the Patriots normally cover. So it's just an odd year for them. And frankly speaking, it's kind of a good year to do this, because if it's a mediocre year on the field this year and the quarterback situation doesn't work out, they're in a real opportunity to really just clean sweep their cap financially and also clean sweep the roster and kind of start from scratch next year.
Next year, Antonio Brown and the Tom Brady dead money comes off the books for them, right? So that's like $1 billion or something.
Yeah, exactly. But honestly, the dead cap is a good place to look, because that's exactly right. Generally speaking, teams will load up on dead cap in a year that they anticipate having to rebuild the year after, because they want to get themselves all figured out the year prior and then have space to either make multiple draft picks up in the first round, which costs cap, acquire people via trade, or obviously sign people via free agency. So you'll see a cleanse happen prior to a rebuild, and that appears to be what the Patriots are at least prepared for. It may work in the other direction, and they may have to keep the gas pedal down, but they're ready to rebuild next year if they have to.
What about the Patrick Chung deal? They restructured his contract. Is that kind of just robbing Peter to pay Paul?
That's exactly right. That's all it was. They really did get to a point where they were at like $100,000 of cap space. So they had to do a couple of things just to free it up, one of them being trading Gronkowski. They couldn't even afford to put him back on the active roster. So, yeah, there were a couple of moves there where they had to get themselves out of the mess, and it's rare to see them do it. But every team goes through this, and like I said, they're in the window where it makes a little bit of sense to actually be here anyway.
You know, I doubt Belichick would have done this on purpose, but everything seems to work out for the Patriots, and it might be in this regard too. If the NFL salary cap goes down, teams have to then cut higher-priced players. The Patriots have all this money coming off the books, as you said. Can they be in a position to go and gobble up some of these veterans that might be getting cut by other teams in the future?
There's no question. And if the plan is to keep the gas pedal down, then they're going to be primed to do exactly what you just said. They're going to be able to take on trades with a couple of draft picks they've acquired over this mini-rebuild they've done here. So they're going to be able to take on, you're right, veteran contracts that other teams just flat out can't afford if the cap drops $8, $9 million, which I think is probably about right next year. So, right, that's what I mean, how they can go in either direction. They can rip it right off and rebuild from scratch, or keep the gas pedal down and do what you just said and use some of the space that they're going to have over a lot of teams and bring in some big players to go with it.
You know, we've been following you for a while. We've had you on a bunch of times. There are other people wading into the waters of what you do now. We got the guys over at Over the Cap. We got this guy, Miguel, who runs just the Patriots cap space only. Are you developing any rivalries with these other capologists?
I honestly, because I do all these multiple sports, I don't have time to to consider any other options right now. So I'm living, I mean, we're expanding sports every single day here. We're adding Formula One racing right now, kind of branching out into the auto racing world. We've got golf on the site now. So no, I don't really follow those paths too much. It's more about expanding SpotTrack and seeing where we can go from here.
Jeez, Mike, before I let you go, I feel like I should ask you, will you do my taxes for me?
I don't even do my own. Do you believe that?
No! Get out of here. I love it. Mike Jannetty, SpotTrack.com. Mike, always a pleasure. Certainly, we learn something new every time you come on. Thanks a lot for stopping by.
Stay safe, guys. Thanks.